Welcome to another episode of This Is Silly with the Lulligans. This is Mitch. Brad.
Hello.
The Professor Matt Bird is on assignment.
He's across the pond.
He has gone home to his home country of England to do research on why St. Louis FC cannot win.
Yeah, I should. I hope he finds something for us.
I to be fair, I don't know if it's going to help. But yeah. Matt is over there. He's having a good time telling the parents that they're expecting twins. So,
and he stayed up till 1:30 in the morning on Saturday night to live stream the game.
So no, it was later than that, wasn't it?
Well,
it's like seven hours ahead.
Yeah, I think it.
So it starts at like 2:30.
I think he finished at 4.
Yeah.
He said or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, which, you know, he's not the first. We have our buddy in Ireland that does the same thing.
Ryan, yeah.
You know, but...
I miss Ryan. We need Ryan back.
I love when he'd get on his angry rants.
Yep.
Because just being Irish, it sounds so much cooler. Well, and he's actually Irish.
Well, yeah. It's real Irish.
That's a big difference, too. So, yeah, so no Matt Bird today. So, I guess we're going to have to do a lot of stats work here as we're talking.
Yeah.
We'll just make up statistics.
I guess before we begin, I want to say at least thank you to all the players and all the fans that came out on Thursday. Our last podcast we recorded live from the Soccer Park Ballroom.
Which was fun.
It was a nice night. Players, you know, got to interact with the fans a little bit. And just a little, you know, things you don't get maybe at other levels of soccer.
No, you most definitely don't. I mean, we've always said since day one, well, of any team that we've watched in 7 years, we get a little bit more, you know, not being MLS, you get a little bit more access.
Yeah.
And this year it's been a little bit lesser just because these are more private guys and Preki runs a tighter house than...
Well, yeah, we talked about, you know, we'd done them in the past years during preseason. This season, they were so busy during preseason, not only because Preki believed in doing more games and more trainings, but just they had to get to know each other themselves. So maybe a little late, but it was nice to have the guys out and talk.
Yeah, no, it really was. And it was also good to get to hear from them too, that, you know, every group takes to these things differently. Like, we know that, you know, some guys in the past would go bowling together.
Yeah.
Or some guys did other stuff together, and that these guys are more go about the business, you know, I'll worry about free time when I have free time.
Well, and they break up into smaller groups. You know, there's not like big outings that the other guys used to do, but just a little event to get to know them a little better. I thought it was nice.
Yeah, and it was neat to see different fans being able to interact with them too. You know, from there was a newer person there with his kid who's little, and, you know.
Yeah, got some autographs.
Got some autographs, got some interaction, to seeing, you know, the stalkers and the regular people there. Getting their interaction with them, it was good, and we had Willinho on the pod, which is always automatically
good.
Yeah,
I forgot about that. I love Willinho.
My favorite part was when we were asking him about coming back from his 2-game suspension.
Yeah,
and he's like, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, and actually, when Matt said he was staring at Dragon when Dragon was on this, you know, recording his segment, and Matt said, you know, do you want to talk to Dragon when he's done? He said, no, I'm waiting for my turn to be on the podcast. So he does not lack in self-confidence.
No, not at all. Not at all. If only the... Anyway.
The team could use a little bit of that, right?
Yeah, but you know what? I do think they have some self-confidence and self-worth. I think it's just
misplaced.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think it's just not falling together, but misplaced might be a little more accurate.
Yeah, so, yeah, not much news has happened since we recorded that podcast and now, other than the game on Saturday night. Just a disaster.
You know, I showed up late. I was coaching beforehand, so I didn't get to do any of the normal pre-game work, which was kind of nice to have a night off from it in a way, to, you know, just be able to walk up to the stands and...
Yeah.
And that was the other thing. I was about 10 minutes late, so, you know, everybody was already in Section 8 and 9 and chanting, and the drums were going, and I was out on the parking lot near the outer road. And so you really, it's a totally different experience walking that far away and hearing it all going on and hearing how clear it is and just hearing that buildup. I mean, you really get a different perspective from it. I'm not saying everybody should try being late once in a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you do happen to be, it's neat to take it all in.
It was a bit of a different night. We had a skeleton crew on the drums, and so instead of doing the march in, they went in, got the drums set up in the section. So we just kind of walked in real casual. We didn't go in chanting. We didn't go in, you know. I mean, it was different. I don't think it was as impressive or as good, but it was just kind of a different night altogether. And speaking of which, we're looking at another different night altogether this weekend. You and I will be at the U2 show.
A lot of people will be at the U2
yeah,
show.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to do that. And I know the tailgate crew, they're down to two regular guys that do the food. Claude and Jake are going to be the only guys there. Maybe Mark, he might be late. And they're talking to some other people. I don't know what their plan is right now. They may do something a little different for the food, but just watch on Facebook and social media for that. Sarah will be the only one regular at the merch table, though. Big thank you to April Register. She's volunteered to step up and help her there. So you'll still be able to get your shirts and all that good stuff. But drummers are light. The capos are light. So they've tossed around a couple ideas. They might do something different for this game. But, you know, the corner might be a little thin. So whoever shows up needs to make extra noise.
Yeah, and you know, every so often this is going to happen. I think this is probably the most people that we're having missing at one time. Because, I mean, to be fair, this weekend we miss a lot of people due to Lou Fest.
Yeah.
You know, that took away a lot of people.
And you know, we can't mince words. The team's awful.
Yeah, and so people are finding other things to do on Saturday right now.
Normally, if they get invited to a birthday party or the game, they're saying, oh, sorry, I can't come because of the game. Some of those people are opting to go to the birthday party now.
I hate to say this out loud, but there was a part of me as I was driving down 44 that said, you know, I could just go home tonight.
Yeah.
But, you know, I had coached my son's CYC team.
You should have.
They shit the bed. I mean, they lost 6-2. It was ugly, and I was frustrated, and I knew going in that I didn't have faith in this team to do anything decent, and so...
Here's the thing. We're in a
No, this is about me, Brad.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
But the Canadian road trip, we came out with two draws that realistically should have been wins.
Absolutely.
So we would have been in a playoff position had we taken care of business in Canada. We've put ourselves now where we're still only 4 or 5 points out, but we have to start winning these games.
There's I think there's only one game in hand now where it used to be three.
Yeah, we've made up.
We squandered that opportunity.
And we're lucky that some of the teams we're playing are below us in the table.
But that doesn't seem to matter as of late, because if you're below, you got a chance against us.
And, you know, Harrisburg City Islanders at home. They're on a six-game losing streak.
What was it, 600 minutes of play without scoring a
goal? Up until the game right before us, they hadn't scored a goal in 600 minutes.
Yeah.
Don't
worry, we're the slump busters.
And if we can't win a game like that at home, we don't deserve to make the playoffs. I'm sorry.
Not at all.
And they scored first, which was a heartbreaker. And it took us a while, but we finally did get the equalizer. But I had no thoughts at all that we would win that game.
At no point did I feel like we were in...
I mean, we had possession numbers, but again, it was a lot of misleading possession numbers because it's in the back.
Well, and when you get to midfield and turn and pass back on every other possession...
Yeah, and turn the ball over a lot in the midfield.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the possession numbers... sadly are very misleading with this team, because, you know, the three defensive guys passing back and forth into the goalie, those are possession numbers,
right?
You know, Harrisburg's not going to send five guys chasing that ball. Yeah. So you get
we were in our traditional spots in the back row, and I was convinced that was just going to be another draw and it wasn't good enough. And then lo and behold, they surprised me by actually losing the game. So
I
losing to Harrisburg, there's no excuse. None.
And again, it's foolish play. You know, there was, as you said, the turnovers are just... Every soccer game has turnovers. That's sports. That's what happens. But the careless turnovers are just mind-numbing.
We find a way to drop points. That's all there is to it.
There is. There's, if there's a goal kick, there's no way that we're going to retain possession or
we had a streak of several corners. We couldn't do anything with it.
I mean, God, how many corners did we have? We had a ton of
Tony Walls almost put one in, but I mean, it just was ugly. The game was ugly.
But the thing that frustrates me the most is that this isn't new ugly.
No.
This isn't a declining ugly.
No, it's the same. It's
this is exactly the same as what we've been watching for
fucking 3 years. I mean, I know Preki brought his new ugly and rubbed it on our old ugly. And so now it's maybe a new and improved ugly. I don't know. I mean, I'm broken. I'm exhausted.
Well, and that's the thing. It's to the point now where I have no answers.
Tells me they're not going to be at the game next week, I can just say, okay. I can't, you know, rah-rah them up and say, hey, come on, you know, we're having a good time out there. I mean, we are having fun. I'm still having fun with my friends, don't get me wrong. And yes, I'm going to U2 this weekend, but I'm going to be at every other game. It's just, I don't know, it's just not what it needs to be. And if I'm feeling that, the casual fans are definitely feeling that. And there's no, you got to win. That's all there is to it.
And I guess one of my biggest frustrations is that, I don't know how to say this without it sounding conceited, so bear with me. It's been our job to kind of rally the troops. Let's try to get people to go to the games. Let's try to, you know, that's what a supporters group does. That's, you know, you make noise in the corner, you get people to go to games. That's kind of what you do. It's hard to. I can't convince somebody who's mildly interested to come out and watch this team.
And before...
Are they any good? Nope.
And before, there was kind of a roller coaster. We'd get a win and then lose a game and get a win and then draw a couple. It's been a...
There is no roller coaster.
It's all down, man. And even though we're technically not mathematically eliminated from the playoffs yet, I have no hope that they're going to make the playoffs.
If we manage to get in by the skin of our teeth.
Oh, it's going nowhere.
Are we going to really run against Louisville?
No. I mean, I don't know. I reached out to Pat Berry today, told him we were doing the podcast, if there was any, you know, statement he'd like to make on behalf of the club, and he responded, and I'm just going to read the statement to you guys. Just like our fans, we are disappointed and frustrated with the result on Saturday and our position in the Eastern Conference table. Though there is a strong sense of frustration and disappointment today at Soccer Park, there is also a deep commitment and resolve to get the much-needed result next Saturday and to find consistent success. It's our job to fix the product on the field and win back any fans that may be too frustrated with our performance. Right now, we are sharing in the lows. We will also share in the excitement and accomplishment of success together when that day comes. It will be all of us celebrating because we did this together. The support of our fans is appreciated and critical at this point in our season. Thank you to all of our fans, and we will see you this Saturday. I mean...
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard a lot of statements like that. And I'm not trashing Pat. What he's got to say.
And I think one of the things to definitely... I mean, we've heard them say it on the pod. They've said it to us on Twitter and stuff. Right. They're not happy either. Pat can't come out on Twitter and say, fuck Preki.
But it was funny, though. I mean, we always complain about their Pleat Steam man of the match, which they have to do. They're contractually obligated. I'm sure Pleat Steam's even like, fuck, let it go. Because every time they post it, you know, there's 40 comments. What are you doing? Yeah. You know, nobody's the man of the match. And I mean, I just, on our Twitter feed, I responded to their poll with our poll, you know. And I said, who's the real man of the match? Is it the capos, the drummers, the beer vendors, or all the fans? And, I mean, all the fans won. Yeah, so, congratulations, everyone. But, I mean, both Pat...
Pat yourselves on the back.
Yeah, both Pat Berry and Tom Strunk liked the comments. You know what I mean? Like, they get it.
They're just as mad as we are. But, again... It's no different than the Blues or the Cardinals or any other professional sports organization. Is that if Bill DeWitt's mad at Mike Matheny, he's not going to go out and, you know, this guy sucks ass.
Right. And I mean, like, I mean, we've said it so many times before. They made the decisions that we all thought were right. I mean, who could have imagined Preki and him handpicking 99% of the team, it would go this poorly? But no, it has.
I mean, maybe one person.
Right. But I mean, so here we sit.
I mean, every USL pundit, every other team,
it was a home run. Yeah.
And we keep.
And it was a significant financial investment from the ownership to make that happen.
Yeah. And so now, at this point, today, end of season, however you want to call it, define this point, you know, we've talked about it several times before. You know, does Preki stay around for another year? Right now, the resounding opinion online is no.
Yeah, and I'm in that camp. Even though I have time for the argument of, you know, you can't change the coach every year. You got to give him a chance to build something up. I mean, I understand these arguments. I understand you gave Dale a year and a half. Preki deserves at least as much as Dale. I get that, but
I don't think you do.
We're hearing too many whispers out of the locker room. People who sit on the other side of the field hear it during the game. Players are not happy.
They're fighting with each other.
They're openly telling fans, Preki hates me. I'm not starting because Preki hates me. I can't wait to get away from this team.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
It's funny because I've made the comment several times months ago that this had a very Mike Keenan-esque feel to it.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people that were doubting me before are coming back around saying, you know what? You're right. This is exactly a Mike Keenan situation.
And it's also the doghouse is real. Players get shoved into the doghouse and never come back
out. And the thing is that every coach has a doghouse. We know that. That's
for a game or two.
But a game or two. To say this guy will never play for me again.
Yeah.
That's not.
And one player is talking about he even killed a trade deal that the player wanted to go out somewhere. And he told him no, but it still can't get a sniff of the field.
And that's ridiculous. There's no, I mean, and these aren't rumors. These are from the players to the fans.
That are openly talking about it.
And if they're telling the fans at this point in time, these things, that they're not.
And players fighting with each other on the field and off the field.
We saw that between Davala and
Jackson.
And Jackson and Mirko.
And then Gorick after the game, trying to get somebody over to talk to the fans, and they're arguing with each other.
The room's lost. It's done. And when it's this toxic, when it's that, it's done. And quite frankly.
Now, I'm not saying you couldn't save it, get rid of some guys that aren't happy and bring in other. Because Preki does have his players that are loyal to him.
But that's the other problem, is that some of these players that are talking to the fans are saying, if you're not one of his loyal players, there's a good chance you're in the doghouse.
Well, and they're saying it's also.
And let's be honest.
His core guys can make mistakes, and they don't pay
exactly
for it. If he was being even-handed with everybody, then maybe, but.
You know, unfortunately, he's hurt right now, but Tavo's a prime example, is that being one of Preki's guys, he got a lot of leeway at the beginning of the season to find his game.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening for other players. And again, these aren't rumors. These aren't people just voicing their opinions on things. This is things that we have seen with our own eyes. Yeah. This is not shenanigans of, you know, fantasy.
And here's the other thing. Preki won't talk.
Yep.
If Preki would come on and talk, maybe he would have an excuse of why player A is in the doghouse or what he sees that maybe we don't see. Because I'm not saying I know more about the game than Preki. But his steadfast refusal to talk to anyone.
Again, coming back to the Cardinals, we just saw a couple weeks ago with Mike Matheny and Yadier Molina had a little bust up.
Yeah.
It was online. It was on Instagram. It was in the. And they both said their pieces. They hashed it out then in private and then came back out and everything was okay.
Yeah.
You have that interaction. You have that loyal, that level of integrity that is expected.
Well, and at this level of the game, that should be part of Preki's goddamn job.
It is.
I don't care if he, look, I gave him a pass. He's eccentric. He's fickle. He's whatever he is.
Said it once. I've said it a million times. You can play that diva role if you're winning.
If you're losing, you owe it to your fans, especially where we find ourselves. When he said, oh, yeah, playoffs is, you know, not a question. Well, guess what, Preki? The playoffs is a big fucking question.
It's not even a question. No, he's
it's
right.
not happening.
Playoffs aren't a question. They're not a question. We're going
to
make it.
Right. So I'm not saying he has to do this podcast, but something, a Facebook,
Jim Thomas,
a Facebook Live with the team or
Facebook. Yeah. Just, you know, whatever. You'd
fight a fake press conference.
Whatever.
Something. More than the fucking 2-minute bugging the coaches.
Which
he looks pissed he has to do those.
Yeah, I could write those answers.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, we know what they're going to be every time. And we used to joke about that Dale had that too. But the problem was is that if you had Dale one-on-one, if he was on the radio, if he was on this couch,
yeah,
if he was in person,
yeah,
you were going to get an explanation. So, and whether or not you agreed with Dale,
right.
he was steadfast
he
in
gave
his
you
conviction,
an answer.
And he gave you an answer and would hear you out and have the respect. Right. Again, this is USL. This is one of those things that's the difference between USL and MLS. We have this level of access, and it goes both ways.
And you know what, though, also, maybe if he'd been talking to the fans all along, we'd be in the mode of give him another
goddamn
6 months.
Right.
But he built up the wall. Well, guess what? Nobody wants to hear it now.
Mm-hmm.
You were supposed to save the season. You were supposed to turn this squad around, and you haven't done shit.
And early on, we even gave the leeway of, you know what? That's fine. We'll let Jeremy speak for you.
Yeah.
But Jeremy's not making these roster moves.
Well, and Jeremy's, you know, done enough. I mean, Jeremy's come on the podcast whenever we've asked. Jeremy comes down to the tailgate. Jeremy comes down after the game, you know, on the field and says hi to people. I think Jeremy answers questions. Preki hasn't.
And then I think the thing is that, again, this is insulting.
It is.
It is. You know, we've given you every opportunity to right the ship. We've given you every opportunity to do the right thing.
The owners gave you carte blanche, basically, to start the season.
And
now we hear he's bitching about he didn't get the players he wanted. Come on.
You
got the players you wanted. You didn't get to sign Zlatan. But you've got enough budget. We've talked about it before.
And enough talent.
Hey, we spent more money than Harrisburg, and Harrisburg beat the shit out of us.
And we've got enough talent. I mean, again, I love Mirko. Watching him play, he is a field captain.
Maybe he's not this last game.
Maybe he's not the best leader sometimes, but in terms of the way he plays, I'll take that guy every time, except for this past game. But you get those kind of guys. You see that Christian Valesky.
You get Tony Walls.
You bring in every guy that's come in since the beginning of the season has been remarkably.
And we talked about it on the way home last week in the car, like literally after the game on my way back to your house to drop you off. We started pointing out guys that had decent individual games, but there's no team there.
There's no link up.
There's no cohesiveness. Yeah.
None whatsoever. And at least in years past, I think there was cohesiveness with a lack of talent.
Right.
We've
gone the other way now.
Yeah, I mean,
we've got talent, but they can't do shit together.
I don't want to poke some of these guys, but you know, some of these guys were just not ready for primetime players.
And they know it this year. You can see it in the ones that come over after the game.
I want to talk about Mats Bjerman for a moment, who got the man of the match bucket, because first of all, game in and game out, but especially Saturday night, watched him work his ass off. Chasing down balls, working hard every minute. I mean, the guy wanted to win that game badly. You could see his play. He wanted it badly. I wave him over for the man of the match bucket, and he's almost in tears.
Yeah.
And as I'm giving him the bucket, and he's, you know, he said he doesn't drink. And, you know,
yeah.
But he is almost in tears. He is just apologetic, like he cheated on me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
well, no, they know.
And this guy is just broken that it isn't going that way.
And Saturday, usually the guys come over. Usually they go through the line and shake hands. Saturday, they were broken. They didn't want to come over.
They couldn't face us.
So the few that did come over.
I don't mean that in a cowardly fashion. I mean that in
They know they shit the bed.
Yeah.
And the few that did come over, you know, I mean, Grinny was just like, every person he would like shake hands, sorry. I mean, they know.
And the thing that bothers me the most is somebody like Grinny coming over and saying sorry the man does everything he can. Yeah. I mean, you know, he can't, you know, the guys that are the most sorry are the ones that give the most. Bierman, yeah. You know, these guys played their asses off and got nothing out of it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not good enough. It's just not good enough.
And frankly, I'm tired of having this podcast.
It's the same podcast.
It is every goddamn week. That was the nice thing about last week, you know, talking to the players. It was a change of topic for once. It was, hey, I see you go camping.
Yeah.
You know, I say, hey, Brad, I see you're wearing the Spicoli Vans today. Yeah. We could talk about that. That might be more interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I mean, we saw there's the attendance was say. Awful.
It's going to be worse.
You know, it's...
A beautiful Saturday, and gorgeous I think it Saturday. Got up to 4,000 is what they finally announced, but...
Our section was empty. You know, a lot of times when you look over to the expensive seats, you see a few green spaces.
There were a lot of green spaces.
There's a lot of green. You know, the beer garden when I was walking in, usually there's a lot of people hovering around in the beer garden.
Yeah.
There's a handful. There's a couple. You know,
and if they keep losing, this is what it's going to be.
And the hard part is that you can't get these people back.
No, if that was their first time being there.
Maybe yeah. maybe second or third. Maybe they did, you know, two or yeah. three games and they're seeing this decline.
Yeah.
They're not coming back. They're going to find other things to do.
I don't know. I mean, that's really all I have to say about the game. I mean,
it honestly doesn't deserve much more than that.
But I am going to read some responses. We asked people for their questions and comments, and we'll read them and we'll respond as necessary.
We're going to have to think of something positive to say at some point in time.
I got something positive to say for the end of the show.
Okay, cool. Okay, because I'm struggling.
Edward Cullen wants to know, I don't know if there's a stat on this, but being a season ticket holder for the first 3 years in Section 2, there's a lack of scoring on the north end. Even my soccer novice girlfriend said we may move to Section 7 because they never seem to score down here. I got news for you, Edward. It's a little high and dry on our side, too. We haven't seen many more goals than you have. It's lack of goals. That's maybe a number one on the list of things this team is not doing.
And again, it's not like we don't have guys that have a proven record. We shipped out a guy with a proven track record. We've got guys with a proven track record.
Yeah.
It's not the players at this point.
Mike McHugh wants to know, is there any news on MLS to St. Louis? Okay, I'll see myself out now. No, Mike, there is no news on MLS to St. Louis, but thanks for bringing it up. We always enjoy talking about that. Jake from State Farm. This is Jake Troche. He wants to know, has anyone seen the new It movie? Is it good? How was the weather today? Did anyone stub their toe? And is that less painful than losing?
Matt Brown saw It. He said it's fantastic.
Good reviews. He said it was a little rushed because they're trying to cram it all into a two-hour movie. But
I'm not a big horror movie fan.
So I'm going to see it tomorrow with my daughter. We go see horror movies, so I can maybe report back next week, Jake.
They just don't do anything for me.
I
did not stub my toe today.
I stubbed my toe yesterday, and it hurt. But you know what? Within 5 minutes, I was over it. I am still... suffering from the effects of the loss on Saturday.
As am I.
I'm upset. And then the other one, how was the weather today? Beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Lovely, lovely day.
Had the patio door open again while I was working. Lovely afternoon.
So that was good. Duncan Cooper wants to know, let's have an If I Were Jim segment. What moves would you make in the offseason to fix our issues, both on-field product and all the issues.
Wait, hold on. He's ruining this whole If I Was Jim idea.
Okay, why?
Because if I was Jim, I'd be like, fuck this. I'm getting a fat-ass sports car.
Yeah.
I'm driving fast and getting tickets.
I think he's got a nice Audi. Yeah, it's not a sports car, but
it's a sports nice sedan. Audi, yeah.
And what would they do even to
two
fix
chicks.
The operational stand from an operational standpoint? Duncan... I don't know, because last year at the end of the season, if you gave me the same question, if you were Jim, what would you do? I would have said, hire Preki. So obviously that didn't work out. I don't know what I would do. I don't want to blow it up completely and start over again. I think we have some talented players that I think we have talented players that if we keep Preki, we can talk them into staying. And then I think we have some talented players that if we get rid of Preki, we might be able to talk them into staying. but I think you're going to change a lot of pieces on this squad in the offseason, either with or without changing Preki.
And whether or not you want to.
The off-the-field stuff, yeah, there's been a lot of little things.
A lot of medium things.
A lot of medium things, right? They are going to hire some new people in the offseason, and we know they've already started interviewing some people with professional sports backgrounds.
I do think that's important at this point in time. And again, the choices that they made at the beginning, USL has changed so dramatically in 3 years.
Yes.
That what were good hires before they got started
yeah.
turned out to be poor hires just because it's a different league. I mean, it was a different league halfway through that first season.
And I think they probably overestimated their ability to have split jobs with St. Louis Scott Gallagher. Too many guys were doing double duty for the team and the club.
Agreed.
Now, maybe some of those jobs can overlap.
But, I'm sure there's several that can.
But some, they need dedicated guys on the professional side.
For example, I'll just pick on social media because that was our blight for a lot of time.
Yeah.
You have to have a professional doing this. Yes. You know, somebody that's learning the job as they go along.
And somebody who's not also tweeting and practice for the U8s is canceled.
Yes.
It's got to be focused, a professional. Yeah.
Because you look around the league and you see Cincinnati's and Louisville.
Sacramento.
And San Antonio and Sacramento. You know, they are putting out some quality social media.
Right.
You know, and it's obvious they have a game plan. They have a structure to it. They have a professional doing it.
Yeah.
You have to have it now because that's soccer in the United States.
Right now, I mean, we do get some good retweets of other things, and they do their contractually obligated things where, you know.
The pleats, man of the match.
The man of the match and the highlights and the bugging the coaches. And yeah. But that's not enough. We need engaging,
There has to be more creative things. Last year, wasn't there the stupid half-hour show every weekly?
Yeah, that's fallen apart.
That's gone. You know, you used to get something. You used to get, even just 5 minutes with an iPhone does you something. You
right.
know? And it's just, there's just nothing. And granted,
when they do, it's bad.
When you're losing.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
You know, you can't do that. It's plastic, but.
So hopefully they're addressing those things. We know they need to do more marketing-wise.
I think it's just things have changed. And
I think,
we're back to
and I think they set their budgets when they came in, like you said, where it was, but it has.
No, it wasn't where it's gone.
No. There's a lot more competition. There's a lot more rivalry. And I think they need to, and I think they will address it. But if I was Jim, those were the things I'd want some improvement
in.
And
that is something that Tom and Pat mentioned that when they were here on the podcast last, that you know, those are their intentions. It's just a matter of putting it together. I genuinely hope it does because I think that there's a lot of good people that deserve better.
Yeah. BW Banker wants an hour regarding hot dog sandwich and favorite cheese debate. No, we've done that. Hot dogs aren't sandwiches, and I've said it before, I like the easy cheese, bacon and cheddar flavor.
When I was in Philadelphia a couple weeks ago for work,
yes,
and we were talking about getting the Philly cheese
steaks,
and my coworker mentioned, okay, well, what kind of cheese? And I thought they were going to punch him in the throat.
Yeah.
When there was a thought that it wasn't
the Whiz, man. Whiz. Slap that Whiz on there.
If it's not Cheese Whiz, you're not eating a Philly cheese.
That's a good point. Wes Brammer wants to know, what is the team missing most? Do you think Preki is the problem? And what type of player do you want to see brought in?
Cohesion?
Hold on. It's a multi-parter.
Jeez.
How much of the season is to blame on the front office and not only bringing in the new coach but an entire new team? Yes, we were excited by Preki and some of the guys we got, but to put it all together in one season is so much, with so much change, is tough.
It sounds like it's more than 140 characters.
It's a multi-parter. I think the team needs more pace. He would bring in another creative player like Appiah and I think Preki can right the ship next year. First of all, how much of this season, or what is the team missing most? What would you say?
Cohesion. There is no cohesion.
I think it's the scoring, and you mentioned a player like Appiah. Yeah, I'd love it. There's not that many of those guys around. We talked this weekend. Yeah, I would love a creative number 10. They don't exist in U.S. soccer.
No, because they go somewhere else.
If they're good enough, they're in MLS or higher.
Yep. But I think the thing that's worth mentioning is that there are plenty of wingers. I think that, you know, there are a lot of guys with legs who can cover ground.
Yeah.
That you can't, and this has been part of my frustration this year, is that it seems like our entire attack is go up the middle.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, you know, you coach the kids to not go up the middle.
Yeah.
So there's just, you have to use it wide.
We don't have a complementary set of skills.
No.
We don't have forwards that can take advantage of a cross, and we don't have midfielders that can get the ball to the forwards where they want it. We need. I think we need creative midfielders in there.
Cohesion.
There you go. You were right. You were right to begin with. Second part of that, was it too much to put together in one season with a completely new team? That's the way Preki wanted it. Preki had final say on which guys they kept, and he only wanted three of them. So, now I'm not saying there might have been some guys that wanted to leave, but...
There might have been guys that he wanted to stay that didn't want to stay for him.
Right,
and...
And the guys that came in, Preki at least had to say okay to the ones that Jeremy brought in, if not outright identified them. We know he identified his guys. So I do blame that on Preki. Even though he only had a year, this was the team he hand selected. And I'm not talking about winning the championship.
But you know what?
I'm talking about making the goddamn playoffs. He had enough to do that.
I'll talk about stringing together two wins in a row.
Exactly.
And I go back to the first season, and any first season for any team, we're seeing first year teams come in and compete.
That's right.
So the idea of needing a couple years to get your team together in the USL is horseshit.
Yes. And then the final one, he'd like to see more pace. You always want more pace. Pace. Ha ha.
I want to see more action on the wings.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of space that we don't use, and teams know that we're going right up the middle.
And he ends it with, he thinks Preki can right the ship. I'm firmly in the Preki out camp at this point.
I think Preki's drilling.
I think
holes
he's
in the
done
ship.
Too much damage. I don't think he can save it. And again, I will say, wherever he goes next, he will win a championship.
Because that's how St. Louis works.
That's the way these things go. He hasn't forgotten how to coach. It just all went wrong here. And some of the players that may not be performing now could also go somewhere else and do great things.
Angulo got off to a hell of a start in Oklahoma.
So there you go.
I still go back to that opening conversation we had with him where he hadn't watched the USL.
Right.
Thought that the league had gotten worse. Whether or not that was just bravado horseshit or it was authentic, either way, I don't think it was appropriate to say.
It didn't work out well for him.
Yep.
Oinkity wants to know, wondering if it's possible to buy the Charlotte Independents, take their place in the league, and merge the teams like they do in Mexico. I'm sure if we cashed out our existing contracts, we could afford the Charlotte Independents.
The entire franchise. Yes. Not just the players, the franchise, the rights.
But again, Charlotte's one of those teams that they may do everything wrong off the field, they're winning. And they've been better than us from day one.
Again, comes back to putting it together. It's up to the coach to make it happen.
I got to think so.
Wait a minute. My CYC team is losing.
It's on you.
Shit.
Now you suck.
I know.
Derek Gottman just said parking ? Ha ha, Derek. Parking's going up just for you. let's go back to Facebook where the people had their questions.
Give me my Tarasenko Funko Pop.
There you go. I'd like a Tarasenko Funko Pop, and I don't even like Tarasenko.
Have you seen the Brett Burns one?
I don't even know who that is.
It's a defense for the Sharks. They even put his man bun on him.
Well, there you go. Okay. Let's see here. The next comments. Can anyone explain why Milan has gotten a starting spot in the last few games? First of all, he hasn't. He didn't start the Ottawa game, and he did score a goal in that Ottawa game. So that's probably why he got the start. That being said, I don't think he should. I love Milan. He has not shown me anything since he's been back from his injury, apart from that one goal.
At the beginning of the season and the preseason, he showed a world of promise. I think the injury did him some struggles. I think that you're absolutely right. Since he came back from the injury, it just hasn't been the same. And let him find his feet as a sub.
We can go ahead and talk about this. I thought it was a mistake not to start Seth. Everybody knows I'm not the hugest Seth fan in the world, but he's hot. You go with the hot striker.
And not only that, but when you're playing Harrisburg, get out there and run it.
His speed is dangerous.
They're not as fast as a team as we were.
That said, I get that in the Ottawa game, Valesky and Milan both scored. I think if you were going to make the playoffs, you want your guys scoring. Christian did score again. I got no problem with that, but I think...
How about that play, though?
Yeah.
That was cheeky.
Yeah. Good quick restart and fast thinking out there.
It was Feely, wasn't it?
Feely, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I think you should have started Seth, and I don't know what to say about that.
Dealer's choice, but the problem is, I think the dealer's playing a different game.
Josiah Griever just wanted to say, it truly was the hope that killed us. I think you're right, Josiah.
We got pills for that.
Cody Niffin, do we finish the season with Preki or just move on now to get it over with? I think you give him the rest of the season just because who are you going to find now? You're going to need the offseason to find somebody new. I don't think letting Leonard have the team for three games does him any favors, just like we did last year. You know, you can't give it to him when the team's already screwed. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you could make an argument the other way. Maybe the guys would play for Leonard that aren't playing for Preki.
That was my first thought when you said what you said, but I also kind of, as you were saying that, my instinct is this is a trigger that probably should have been pulled a month ago. But the thing is that you can't pull that trigger a month ago because...
I wasn't ready a month ago.
Personally, I was, but I also know, again, this guy has the pedigree of a winner.
Hindsight, yes. Now I think, oh, yeah, we probably should have pulled it a month ago, but I still wasn't ready to give up on him.
Yeah, and that comes down to the ultimate baffling of this entire thing. None of this makes sense.
Yeah.
Not at all. So I don't think there is a good answer. I'd probably do it just to, you know what, play it out, see what happens.
Yeah.
Maybe get some camaraderie going. But
JC Hines with same question, you know, again, 50-50, flip a coin. I don't know. I don't think Preki's our answer long term, but I think, I don't know. Marks Avalos, can we as Luligans do any more to support this team? Because if we feel like we have been giving it our all the last 3 years and we keep getting the same garbage. I think we're doing our part, Matthias Avalos. I don't know how to pronounce that. I think we're doing our part. I don't think there's really anything more they could reasonably ask of us.
I don't either. And, you know, ultimately you could say, well, I wish more of us were showing up, but I can't fault people for not showing up. So... Yeah, potato, potato, I guess. I don't know. I'm kind of at a loss there. I mean, it's... Yeah. I can't score a goal.
Yeah.
I can't put out a lineup that fixes it.
And we're not being paid to do so.
No.
Ryan Brockschmidt wants to know, what would your ideal lineup up top be? I think we kind of talked about that. I think at this point I'd go Seth and Valesky.
Have to. With DJ and Appiah...
If Appiah is healthy, I want him out there, and DJ, same thing.
You got to have speed. You got to have attack.
Yeah. Although Bjurman is never a bad call, too.
Nope.
Claude Carricker, what can the club realistically do at this point? It's clear Preki was a mistake. Does he have a contract that makes it difficult for them to move on from him, even if it means losing a lot of players? This is, you know, the whole contract situation, be it with players and coaches, is there's not a lot of info out there in USL.
Heavily guarded.
I know most players are on usually a 1 year or a year with an option type of contract.
Unless it's a significant player of age.
Right.
Where you can get them on a 2 year deal.
Right.
Because you know that's they've hit their peak.
But there's not a whole lot of multi year deals.
No.
So I imagine at the end of the season, we are going to lose players either way. And some will be loyal to Preki and will want to move if he moves.
Or stay
if he stays. Some guys will probably say, you know what? I tried St. Louis. It didn't work out. I'm gone. No matter what the coaching situation is. So, yeah, we're looking at some big changes next year again. But I think the team is smart enough to have structured the Preki deal in a way they could get out of it. Or I think if they realize it's that bad, they will pay the cost to get rid of him. I mean, now, I don't know. They may, behind the scenes, they may be planning for year two with Preki. I don't know. But I would imagine if it's a decision that needs to be made, I imagine that Tom and Jim have the wherewithal to make the decision and suffer the consequences, whatever they are.
I'm sure they hate the concept of throwing away money.
Yes.
Either way.
But I don't think that will stop them.
I think they hate losing more.
If they view Preki as the problem, I think that decision will be made.
I can't, at this point in time, I don't see any other way forward.
And then just hope it doesn't flood again next year.
Yeah, that too.
Jason McAdams, if craving and desire are the cause of all human suffering in life, how can we as a fan base overcome them to transcend the cycle of samsara and achieve nirvana?
I stopped paying attention.
I think the in the words of Jake Trokey, you got to embrace the suck, man. you got to quit worrying about the playoffs and winning soccer and just embrace the suck.
You know what? Maybe that's our end of year TIFO.
It could be. Well, speaking of end of year TIFOs, Ryan Grass posted a picture of the beginning of the year TIFO, Dawn of a New Day. Where did it all go wrong?
I think we're definitely in the darkest hour.
I don't know, Ryan. I don't know. I would have bet a lot of money that we would at least make the playoffs. And as we've established on this podcast, pretty much on a weekly basis, I am not that smart.
SMRT.
Nick, personally, I think the Luligans may be the absolute kindest soccer fans he's ever seen. You all graciously greet these players after constant horrible losses like a family, whereas a lot of other fans would be throwing rotten tomatoes at the players and booing them off the field long ago to let them know their feverish support has a breaking point. You all are clearly going above and beyond in your job. The players are not.
That's the first time anybody said something that we're nicest.
Yeah, usually
it's worst on three continents,
right?
Or, you know.
He's got a point. I think we are there to support our players, and I do think we clap for them. We clapped for them Saturday after that horrible, horrible performance.
I find myself in my mind clapping for the individuals rather than the team. You know, like Bjerman, like Grinny.
They know we're not happy, though. They know we're not happy.
They're on social media.
Yeah.
You know, how many of these guys are on Twitter and see us on our rants saying things? They can go to the Luligans public page and see, you know, it's open to everybody. They can see all the comments, whether or not they're on Facebook or not.
Yeah. Part two of his point, I think we have a poor midfield. Our players get muscled off the ball too often. We lose possession in critical areas along the center line. It's downhill from there. Beyond that, our midfield is not creative enough to put the forwards in clever scoring positions. In my humble opinion, our midfield has been our downfall. This is a very physical league, perhaps even more physical than the MLS, and I don't think we have the strength or creativeness in midfield to constantly put us in positions to win. Don't get me wrong. I think our midfielders fight hard. I just don't think they're good enough.
I think we have a small midfield.
Size-wise. I'm just going to say yes. I agree with all that.
I think we have a small midfield. I don't I don't think they lack determination or grit or bite.
I think they make some poor decisions.
The other thing is, too, is that it is a physical league. I do see us getting called for a lot of fouls.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're not afraid of the conflict. But that said, I think that since we're smaller, it tends to be a little bit more reckless.
I think the key for me in that whole thing was the creativeness. If we can't move the ball through the middle,
nope.
We just can't. And we give poor passes away trying to do it.
Back and to the left.
And then when the guys on the wing get the ball and they cross it in, we can't do anything with the cross.
Nope.
So, yes, I think our midfield has been a sore spot. I think we have probably 5 defensive midfielders and no attacking center midfielders.
Yep.
We're asking guys to do a job that maybe they can't do.
Yep.
And that goes to Preki and to Jeremy for not finding those guys. Now, Appiah, I think, is that guy. I think Tony Walls, ironically, is that guy, but we've got him playing
center back,
because apparently Preki doesn't like any of the center backs on our roster.
All 22 of them.
You know, that's another problem. And I think Tony Walls is doing a good job back there, but I think he'd be more valuable moved up with a couple of natural center backs playing center back.
Well, he's got 5 to choose from.
But I think we're going to have to order more doghouses. But yeah, I think the midfield play has been lackluster, and I think that's why Valeski hasn't had as many goals, and that's why
Angulo wanted
out, and all these things go together. Mike Baldridge, it's no secret that he's a big Seth Rudolph fan. In a limited time, he has proven he can finish. The finish seems to be a major issue here. Why then, in a supposed must-win Harrisburg game, would you not start said finisher? I've committed to my season tickets for 2018. I have the trust. 2018 is a make-or-break year for me, though. No lower than 8th. Sad thing is, I see players leaving here next year and thriving elsewhere. Yeah, we've said it. I also think Seth should have started. He's the hot hand. You ride the guys that are hot. Even after he had his red card suspension, he came back and he scored. So I agree with you. Can't say anything other than that. And okay. I also agree with you. If they don't start winning, it is going to affect the attendance. I mean, it already is, but it's going to be a major effect the farther we go along.
I got nothing. I mean, this is stuff that we've been saying.
Yep. And these are good comments on Facebook because they've got some room to get it all
more
out.
Than 140 characters.
Yeah. Dan Hackett, my family and I had season tickets the first 2 years, but didn't renew this season. We had a lot going on and we're thinking of getting a flex packs, but then Herrera got loaned out and then his replacement is replaced. The defense is poor, so they can't keep people off who can finish. So we've only been to a handful of games this season, and all but the cup match against the Fire and a comeback against Tampa, the rest have been lackluster. They don't seem to be ready to play, which comes down to coaching. Yeah. Getting the team motivated and ready to play. I don't think they come out with a sense of urgency. I think they come out too flat a lot of times. I could say the same thing, though, when Dale was the coach. So maybe it's the water at Soccer Park. You know, maybe the pregame meals need to be, you know, put some spice in it or something. Sriracha it up. Philip Barbier, if we think back to last November when you had the short interview with Preki, he said something along the lines that since he'd left Sacramento, the USL had gotten worse. In many ways, I feel that this season's failings can be traced back to that critical misunderstanding of the league. Preki went out and got players who would have likely led us deep into the playoffs in 2013 or 14, but can't cut it in 2017. That said, it is really the hope that kills us, since this team isn't doing any worse than the last 2 seasons. He has a spreadsheet to prove it, but the coach and the team have let us down worse. Personally, I hope that Preki has learned something about the league this year and can adjust accordingly in 2018, because honestly, if we gave Dale a season and a half, it's almost asinine to dump a former USL champion after less time. In the end, though, I agree with Bird. There are football clubs all over the world, and each in their that, and only one in each league can be the champions. Since most teams don't have a playoffs, there's really no only a consolation prize, so most fans are right where we are, lamenting the team's failures and hoping for next season. Yeah, I mean, you could convince me that Preki deserves another season, I guess.
I don't think I could be at this point.
But you'd have to...
I think...
If we do...
Let me rephrase it. Okay. I take that back. I don't think you could convince me he gets another season. I think there's only one person that could convince me why he needs another season, and that's him.
Yeah.
And that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And he is right, statistically.
Hey, think about this. First season, we were all pretty down about this part of the season about Dale, and he ran off three or four wins at the end.
Mm-hmm.
If Preki wins out, maybe. I just think he's burned a lot of bridges.
But see, the problem is that we said that 3 games ago.
You're right.
And nothing happened. So at what point are you just being the victim?
Yeah. Nathaniel Dollar wants to know, do you think we'll see largely the same group of players next year, or are we in for another major roster overhaul? Does Preki staying or leaving change that? I mean, we've talked about it. I don't think it'll be a major.
I bet it'll be close to half.
I would be happy with half. I don't want another.
If Preki leaves, I can count probably 6 or 7 guys that leave. If Preki stays, I can probably count 6 or 7 guys that leave.
Michael Decker, my concern is not really about this season because barring a miracle, we're probably going to miss the playoffs again. It's going to get the people to invest their hard-earned money into this club again after a difficult season. I know I'm renewing for next season. Just not sure if I want to stay in Section 9 or move to 8. Yeah, Michael, you're right. I mean, we've talked about it. There are Luligans who aren't renewing. I mean,
and we've seen a trickle over the past, you know, last year. People said they weren't going to after the past 2 years.
And we told them, they'll all be back now that Preki's going to be winning. Well, who's the dumb one? Guess it's me.
Yep. But again.
Yeah.
And the
last comment tonight is Mark E. McDaniel. Who needs to be thrown into the Mississippi? Me.
I'm still always up for dunking Stan Kroenke.
Let's be honest. Kroenke deserves to be thrown in the Mississippi.
I can always go for that one.
Preki does, but I'm sure he'd be too busy to show up to said dunking.
I'm always for Stan Kroenke because you know what? He salted the earth, which killed good the MLS
news,
deal.
Good news seeing they were selling Rams tickets for $6
and
they
it was
still had
dead empty.
5,000-7,000 at an NFL game.
That was fantastic.
Fuck you, Kroenke. Let's talk about a little bit of good news before we.
Is it Charity du Jour?
We'll talk about Charity du Jour, but I also wanted to mention that you posted on the page today. We had a Luligan wedding this weekend.
That's true. We did.
Yes. And?
Bo Thomas and Lauren Rapp.
They got married on Saturday, so.
They actually got married on a riverboat on the Mississippi.
There you go.
It was super cool looking.
I'm glad they didn't get dumped into the river.
I'm glad that they didn't go watch that shit show.
And, yeah, very happy for them. So they were the big winners Saturday night.
Yeah. As I posted, we drank a lot on Saturday in their honor because it definitely was not to drown our sorrows.
That's true. Yeah, let's talk about Charity du Jour. It was a good one. We had $370. A lot of that is due to the book that was donated that we,
so crazy cool.
We raffled off. We are going to have a couple more raffles coming down the end of the season. We won't have one this coming Saturday, and I'm not for sure which of the, charities from the community benefits agreement we're doing this Saturday. I will figure that out and we will post that on the Facebook page. And Sarah will have the Charity du Jour bucket. So, same as always, go by and drop a couple bucks in it. We'll continue the $10 scarf sale, too. We're doing $10 scarves, and half of the money from those goes to the Charity du Jour for the day. Because that raised a little more money for the charity. And I don't know if you know this, we started off the season pretty well. We had three wins.
We were flying high, man.
And we sold a lot of scarves in those first 3 games. And so we ordered more.
There were so many people going to games. They were happy. They were drinking.
And as soon as that order came in, it's when the slide kind of started. So we've got a lot of extra scarves this year. So we're going to be doing a sale on those, $10. So come and get one for you, one for your friends, and you know, one just to throw in the back of your car in case you get stranded on a snowy road one day. So
maybe two. You can wrap your tire like snow tires.
That's right.
That'll work if you have small wheels. Maybe we ought to buy four or five.
Sure. I don't know, Mitch.
I don't know either. I don't. If Bird was here, he wouldn't have anything else to say that we're not saying. No. So I don't feel bad that he's missing this shit show.
No.
I don't.
One of these days, I'd love to do a clean podcast, but if we're losing, I'm going to continue to cuss. It's just, that's the way it goes.
I just don't see it happening anytime soon because you can't defend this. You can't explain it. You can't. I'm tired of having this podcast every week.
Yeah.
At this point, you know what? For next week's podcast, I want people to come up with something happy for us to talk about.
How about we just, we boycott. We will not do another podcast until the team wins.
Well, we'll see you in 2018.
No, we won't do that, but God damn it. Give us something to talk about.
Yeah, we want something to talk. If the team sucks again this weekend.
Yeah.
I want the question that you post on Monday before we record next Monday night.
Yes.
Give us something positive to talk about.
All right.
That's my request, because there's just nothing good to talk about.
Life's too short to be this miserable, guys. Win a fucking game.
Our doctors are not pleased that we're fans of this team.
No, it's really.
Every time either one of us goes to a doctor, they're like, you really need to cut out stress and cut out depression. And we're like,
you're gaining weight. You're anxious. You're, you know, fidgety.
Your blood pressure's through the roof. You're
twitching.
Like, well.
Speaking of twitching, I at this point in time, I'm sure that during a game, anytime Pat Barry's phone buzzes, he twitches.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's me calling to tell him something else was mishandled.
Shitters are full.
The shitters are full.
The clock isn't running.
The shuttle didn't show up at the casino. That was figured out. Our friend Greg had signed up for the shuttle, but somehow it didn't register right or whatever, and he didn't get a ride to the game this week. But the team has made up for it. They gave him four all-inclusive passes and the coveted parking pass. So sorry that happened to you, Greg, and our friend Pat. I texted him as soon as the game started, and you know, he's trying. I mean,
you know, this is the thing. I feel sorry for Pat when he has to keep trying because other people fuck up.
Well, yeah, you know, it literally wasn't Pat's job to arrange the shuttle.
Not at
but,
all.
But when you're the president, the buck stops at your desk. So
unfortunately.
So thanks for keeping. Taking my calls, Pat, and my texts and my emails.
For now.
But I would love a day that we win a game.
You realize he's asking Tom for a new phone already.
Yeah, he should get a burner. No, I would love a day when we win a game comprehensively, like 3 or 4 to nothing.
Remember those days where we used to be excited to tell Jeremy who the man of the match was?
Right.
And like it was an excitement for the guy to come over?
Right. I'd like to win a game 3 or 4 to nothing, and I would like not to have texted Pat.
We've been
about
saying
anything.
That about winning 3 to 4 nothing for 3 years now.
Yeah, it'd be nice, wouldn't it? And now
God
Tulsa's good,
damn it.
So we can't do that anymore.
God damn it.
All right.
I'm done. Give us something nice next week, people.
All right.
See ya.
Bye.